In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. I'll try to tell you a few things about marriage. I don't know very much about it because it's a deep mystery. First and foremost, let's understand that marriage is a mystery of Christ and the Church. That's what St. Paul says. It's the most critical thing to understand about marriage. It's a mystery of Christ and the Church. So your union should be a union. It is like the union of Christ with the Church. Now, Christ loves His Church perfectly in every possible way. There's no self-centeredness in Christ's love for the Church. There's no self-interest in Christ's love for the Church. There is pure love without condition. So your marriage should be pure love without condition. And not just because that's a nice way for two people to get along. That's not the reason. The reason is because marriage is an image of Christ's love for us. We must learn to love as Christ loves. It's the most critical thing. Now, this is not a romantic idea, but it is the truth about the union of a man and a woman. I'm going to explain to you a little bit. I'm not much of a theologian, but I've read these passages many times, and my whole life has been spent trying to bring them to the forefront for myself and for my flock. So I will try to tell you a little bit about why marriage is a type of Christ in the Church and how it is lived. To understand this, we have to go to the very first book of the Bible, Genesis. And we've talked about this before, but it bears repeating. When man was created, God created him differently than all the other parts of creation. He stated, "Let us make man in our own image and after our likeness." And so he did. Man was made in God's image and after his likeness. In other words, so that he could attain to the likeness of God. But he was given the image of God. And the image of God is certain attributes of God. Desire and knowledge and will. And these attributes of God are perfect in him. He has perfect knowledge of all things. Desire only for good. And the will to carry out whatever he desires. In us, we have imperfect knowledge. An imperfect desire, because we desire things that are also bad. And we have imperfect will that cannot always carry out the things that are good. But the purpose of our creation was to be in the image of God and to attain to his likeness. Now, what is his likeness? Well, who is God? We can't say much about him, really. We can't say much, anything with absolute certainty in terms of human language. But we can say that the scripture says that God is love. Not the love of the world, but perfect love, unconditional love, eternal love. Powerful love. And so, if we are made in the image of God and should attain his likeness, stands the reason that we should learn to love as God loves. So marriage is a school to learn to love as God loves. You can learn to love as God loves in an institution other than marriage. Monasticism is a good way to learn it. Some people that are not called to marriage or the monastic life can earn it with perhaps more difficulty in the state of being single and celibate. But for you, God has called you to marriage because you love one another, because you have interests that are similar, things that attracted you to one another because you met each other in your occupation, and there are things that are compatible about one another. Knowing you two, I see certain aspects of your personality that just fit together hand in glove. Absolutely. You're both extremely mischievous. So, it's going to be very interesting for your life. And there's no doubt about it. You're both mischievous. There's no doubt about it. And I think that aspect of your personality to a great extent attracted you to one another. Come on, let's be honest. But being compatible in the worldly sense is not enough. You must learn to love one another as God loves his church. Which means you're going to figure out that you're not as good as you think you are. That's part of marriage. Part of marriage is a little bit of humble pie. Because you learn that you're not as good as you think you are. You're not as patient as you thought you were. You don't listen as well as you thought you listened. You're not willing to give way as much as you thought you were willing to give way. And that's all part of the school of marriage. To learn unconditional love. For each other. But then, in learning in that school, to learn love for God and then love for the whole world. That's the purpose of marriage. Because you are made in God's image and you are to attain to His likeness. So that's why you're getting married. Most of the world thinks people get married because, you know, they meet, they fall in love, and they get married. That's actually not the perfect reason for marriage. The perfect reason of marriage is that two people who have compatibility, because it's ridiculous for two incompatible people to get married, but they're compatible, they love one another, they have similar interests, or at least interests maybe that aren't always similar, but that sort of complement one another, but so that they can learn to love one another with the love of God. That's the purpose of your marriage, Paul and I. And now my prayer for you is that you would be very fruitful in fulfilling this purpose. I'm very proud of you, what you've accomplished. I'm very honored to be able to serve as the unworthy mediary for God to join you together. But remember that your purpose is to learn to become one with another so that you can be one with God. Remember the first words about marriage. By the way, marriage is the first sacrament really mentioned in the scriptures. Adam sees Eve, and what does he say? He says, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. A man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. Two dissimilar people becoming one. It's an image of the Trinity. Now, in God's case, it is three persons in God that are exactly similar in that they are all God. The Son is God, and the Father is God, and the Spirit is God. None is more God than the other. But they have perfect union with one another. You're going to learn to have perfect union with one another. And you're going to learn to be one flesh. Obviously, you'll remain separate individuals. You won't sort of morph into one creature, but you will learn to be of one mind. And if you're learning to be of one mind, that will educate you in being one mind with God. So that's your purpose. To learn to love one another without exception, without any difference between the love of God for the church. May God bless you in this. I'm very happy that you're now beginning this process. Right after Paul's baptism, now you're jumping right in the water. And I'm sure that you'll swim well. Remember, love one another unconditionally. When there's those moments, I dare say they will happen, when there's not exactly unconditional love, learn to ask forgiveness for one as fast as possible. Pray with one another. Pray for one another. Remember that your task together is union with God together. You are a team to become one with God. A monk is only himself learning to become one with God. Your team might expand. And if you have children, then teach them to be one with God. And may God grant you many, many years of happiness and eternal life.